Hey, welcome back. Ron and Andy and the Car Doctor. You know, our next guest comes to us with an automotive background from a family that reads like a who's who. His father is a former NASCAR driver, Lake Speed. He's also a world karting champion. And his background, both he and his son, were growing up at race shop and race tracks. His dad's team builds their own engines, chassis, and gears. He's been around all this stuff his whole life. He's also a tribologist. So we're going to have to ask him about that. He's a member of the Society of Tribologists and Lubrication Engineers, and he's one of less than 300 people in the world who is a certified lubrication specialist. This sounds like a guy you want to hang out with and have pizza and a beer, an adult beverage, I'm sorry. So from the background of Driven Racing Oil, they literally came from Joe Gibbs, NASCAR's team engine shop. We welcome Lake Speed Jr. Lake, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit about... Can we do a little bit about Motor Oil 101, all right? And probably the best question, the way I could start off this conversation is, based on the number one question we get here on the Car Doctor, how often should you change the oil? Lake, what do you drive every day, and how often do you change the oil in it?
I have a 2005 Chevy Silverado, and I change oil in that thing about every 7,500 miles.
Okay.
I do oil analysis, and I still, so I'm a bit of a, geek, and I have a little extra tool most people don't have, and even at 7,500 miles, the oil itself hasn't gone bad yet. I get more concerned that the system could become dirty, and, you know, and therein lies the issue is there's a difference between the oil being, having degraded to a point where it's become acidic and is bad for the engine versus the oil actually being dirty.
Now, are you doing that with synthetic or conventional oil?
Synthetic.
Okay. And what are you using for an oil filter?
I use the GM filter, the Delco filter, which is the appropriate one for the engine. You know, the problem is with some filters is, if it's a cheap filter and it definitely has the correct type of bypass, or even more importantly, it can not have the correct anti-drainback valve, that can cause issues with the engine, especially in terms of lifter leak down. Modern cars that have hydraulic valve trains, if the oil filter is in a position where you can bleed off oil from the valve train and not maintain the supply, the fill of oil in there, when you fire the motor up in the morning, you hear all this clanking and rattling in the engine, that's because you don't have any oil in there because the cheap filter you bought on sale didn't have a drainback valve in it, and all your oil is in your crankcase as opposed to having some of the oil at least still on the upper half of the engine.
So for the person using conventional motor oil, and I don't know any other way to ask this question other than say they're going to the quick lube and they're using conventional motor oil, in your mind, how often should they be changing oil, or is there a blanket answer to that question?
There's not a blanket answer because it really depends upon how you drive. There's a lady who used to work for General Motors, and she was one of their engineers there, and she had the nickname of Sister Sludge because, famously within the tribology world, she said she could make anybody's oil fail sooner than they think it could just by the fact that what she would say was, I can go give this oil to a grandma in Wisconsin, and I can make your oil fail within a few months. Because what happens is, grandma goes to church every Sunday and drives a mile to the church, stops and gets out and goes in and comes back. And on Tuesday, she goes to bingo at the church a mile from the house and back. And then on Thursday, she goes and visits the grandkids. It's a couple of miles. So it's the short trip driving when the oil never gets hot enough to evaporate the stuff out, in the engine still running rich, gets up the temperature, all those factors. I have high fuel dilution, high contamination. Even though I'm not really driving the engine hard, you would think, that condition is actually worse and harder on the oil than a guy who drives 80, 100 miles one way every day on the interstate.
Do you think that that guy that drives 80 to 100 miles every day on the interstate using conventional oil, where's that oil change interval for you in your mind? 4,000 miles, 5,000 miles?
Probably somewhere right around there, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you took a sample of 10 guys and did oil analysis on those vehicles running, 80, 100 miles a day, mostly interstate type driving, you would find out that oil analysis wise, they're going to be really safe in the 4,000 to 5,000 mile oil change range.
And is it a fair statement to say you want to do it when you're in the safe range? You don't want to get to the point when you're in danger, because then at that point you've done the damage.
Exactly. Like I was saying with my vehicle, even though I'm running synthetic, and I could push that drain interval further, I choose not to, because well before the oil ever gets dirty, well before it ever starts to get close into the end of its life, I'm going to change it, because there's no harm in putting fresh oil back in. Because in reality, even if it costs me $60 to put oil in the engine, $60 in oil is way cheaper than an engine replacement.
Right, right. Well, let me get to the meat of this conversation, if I can, because what started all this was I was at the shop about a week ago, and you did a mailer. Driven Racing Oil did a mailer, and it came across my desk, and I went, oh, Joe Gibbs Racing Oil, Joe Gibbs Racing Engines. Gee, this is the oil I'm using in the hot rod because of, right? So, with the zinc concern and the zinc debate, and we get calls from time to time. We just had a couple in the last 2-3 weeks. People are asking about zinc, and we're having that conversation. And I said to Fast Harry, I said, Harry, get this guy on the phone. I said, this guy looks like he knows what he's talking about. We want to know about zinc. Tell us about zinc. And for all of you just tuning in, we're talking to Lake Speed Jr. of Driven Racing Oil. Tell us about zinc, Lake, the zinc debate. Why do we need zinc in motor oil?
Real simple. Zinc's been in motor oil since about 1942. And it's an essential anti-wear agent in all motor oils. And it's still in motor oil today. And when people talk about zinc, what we're actually talking about is a chemical compound called zinc dialkyldothiophosphate. That's hard to say. We just call it zinc instead. But the 911, if you will, or the 411 on zinc, ZDDP, is one, there's more than one type of zinc. There's actually about 3 or 4 different types of zinc that are primarily used in motor oils. Some are better for catalytic converters. Some are better for valve train wear. So not all zincs are the same, but they all function the same way. They create a sacrificial film. Under heat and load in the engine, the zinc reacts to create what's called a zinc phosphate film. That zinc phosphate film is what prevents metal-to-metal camshaft wear, right? So anywhere there's metal-to-metal in the engine, be it, a piston ring versus a cylinder wall, a camshaft versus a lifter, push rod on a lifter cup, all those metal-to-metal contact areas, that zinc is creating this phosphate film, which provides they call it boundary lubrication, a sacrificial film that wears off so the metal doesn't wear off. And that's how it functions.
Okay, so then you're saying zinc. I'll tell you what, Lake, stay put. Can you stay on for another segment? Because I got to pull over and take a pause here, my engineer tells me. But I want to know when we come back. So if zinc is in all oils, then, and you can think about this, why is everybody complaining that they're reading reports there's no zinc in motor oils out on the marketplace, and they're worried about damaging their older engines? And how do they get around it? All right. When we return, I'm Ron Anini in the Car Doctor. We're with Lake Speed Jr. of Driven Racing Oil. Lake, when we pulled over and took the pause, the question really centers around zinc, because that seems to be on everybody's mind. But if you're driving, an 82 Mustang versus a 2012 Mustang, do you have the same concerns for zinc and oil? And why is everybody saying there is no zinc and oil anymore?
Well, that's a perfect analogy, Ron. The 83 Mustang has a flat type of camshaft. And because of that, it's a single push rod, single cam push rod motor, the flat tappet lifter and follower. There's more valve train weight. And if you want to turn that engine, 7,000 RPM, the spring pressures are going to have to be a lot greater in that engine to control that valve train. As a result, zinc's really important to you because you have more load on the camshaft and lifter. In a 2012 with a four cam, you know, modular engine that's all overhead cam, you know, roller valve train, you have a, you know, four valve per cylinder versus a two valve per cylinder. The weight's lower. So for the same RPM, you have lower valve train load. So the requirement for the zinc is less. And that's really the issue. Is, like you said before, the reports that zinc is gone from the oil, you know, kind of remind me of the famous Mark Twain, you know, quote, right?
Rumors of my death.
That's been greatly exaggerated.
Right.
Right? No, zinc is still in the oil. It has been reduced, and that is a fact.
Now,
the amount of zinc in motor oil today, you know, an API licensed off-the-shelf motor oil, is less than what it was 10 years ago.
Why?
Than it was 20 years ago.
Why? Is it concerns for the catalytic converter?
That's the issue. Is when you got to look at the global marketplace and say, everybody's worried about emissions. The zinc that's in the oil does degrade the performance of the catalytic converter over the life of the vehicle. So over, you know, the course of 75, 100, 125, 150,000 miles, the ZDPE in the oil is slowly deteriorating the performance of the catalytic converter. Of course, you know, the government and environmentalists want those cats to live longer and work at a higher level of efficiency longer. So one of the answers was to lower the level of zinc, and they found that was an appropriate response for late model roller cam four-valve engine. The problem is, when you get into two-valve engines, so the valves are bigger and heavier, and you have push rods, you have more valve train weight, which means I need higher spring pressures. Now that logic begins to fail you, which is why people who have older engines, higher performance engines, even, say, a modern 2012 engine, if I go to Comp Cams and buy a new cam for that 2012 Mustang and put in bigger lift cam and I put in bigger valve springs and all that, now all of a sudden I do need more zinc in my oil because I've changed the load in the engine.
So even in a in a performance application, even in a modern vehicle, to sum it up, even with a roller follower, a roller lifter, having zinc is still a good idea. It's think of it as an insurance policy against premature wear.
Exactly. The way I look at it, there's three groups you can put people into when it comes to oil. If you have a bone stock engine, stock lift, stock duration, stock everything, then a stock off-the-shelf oil works just fine for you. Just change the filter and the oil regularly, and you're going to be just fine. If you're a street performance guy, a guy who takes a car to the car shows but will also go to the racetrack sometime, be it a drag strip or a road course, you know, and you have some engine modifications. You got an aftermarket supercharger on the engine, or you've got a turbocharger, or you've made a cam swap, or you've got a tuner chip on it, or exhaust, any of those kind of things. Now that regular off-the-shelf oil may not be good enough, depending upon how hard you drive the car and how much power you're making and how aggressive those modifications are.
And you need a little bit more.
You need a little bit more. And then there's that third guy, which is the full hardcore racer, you know, who trailers the car to the racetrack and they run the crap out of the thing. And, you know, that guy, they need a real racing oil. So really you've got a racing oil for the race guy, a street performance oil for the street slash track enthusiast, and then you've got the stock oil for the stock engine.
Right.
You can go to any, you know, Walmart or Pep Boys or whatever and get stock oil. That's your API licensed oil. And then you've got companies like ours and several others that sell street performance, higher zinc oils for those guys in the middle. And, of course, we have race oils for the pure race guys. And that's the best way to look at it, is you got three groups based on the engines and how you use them.
Hey, Lake, I don't want to cut you short, babe, but the clock's going to grab us. If they get out to drivenracingoil.com, good place to go for the web for more information.
We've got a great archive of YouTube videos that explain all this stuff in detail we can't possibly get to. Plus, it's got cool pictures.
Okay, listen, I'll tell you what.
With a lot of this stuff.
Next month, you up for another round of this?
Yeah, anytime.
All right, I'm going to have Fast Harry call you during the week, and we'll hook you up for another round sometime middle to late March, seeing what your schedule is like. But I appreciate your time. DrivenRacingOil.com is the website, folks. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this.